Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise. Really glad to have you listening. And if you just tuned in, oh my goodness, you missed my first hour conversation with persecuted church expert Nick Ripken. It was one of those conversations about the persecuted church and what they mean to us that had me holding my breath pretty much the whole time. If you missed it, you got to go back and catch it. The podcast will be up in just a little bit. So powerful. And as one of our listeners called in and said, the whole church needs to hear what Nick has to say. And I totally agree. Some of the stories he told of friends and heroes of the faith who are standing up for their faith at great cost, we need to hear for the sake of perspective. Well, this hour, my good friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley join me, and we're going to talk about five questions you need to answer to know if you're ready to wed. But if you're already married, I still feel like these questions are very conversation worthy. They help strengthen your marriage if you just know how to answer them, and Greg and Aaron will help us do that. They've also got a handful of copies of their great book, Ready to Wed, and they also come today armed with a companion DVD curriculum for one of you. So you'll get a book and the DVD curriculum. It's $100 value. So while we get them on, we're going to get them on in just a moment. You can call in and we'll grab one of you to get that Ready to Wed and the DVD curriculum. Wouldn't that be an amazing Christmas gift for somebody, huh? So I've got a couple of quick announcements. First of all, Faith Radio, we are so pleased to, again, partner with our friends from Angel Tree. And Angel Tree is a ministry that takes care of, gives gifts to children who have parents incarcerated this year. So $73 will help reach five kids with a Christmas gift each for each of them, the gospel message, and a message of love from their parents. And I'm telling you, we hear story after story after story of these children who not only receive a gift, a surprise. They don't expect anything this Christmas. They watch all their friends get Christmas gifts and are celebrated around Christmas. They don't expect anything. And then someone shows up at their door with an armful of gifts. They receive gifts, a personalized message from their parent, and the message of the gospel. So many of these kids come to Christ, and their lives are changed by that one moment, and they grow up and end up being people who are catalysts and helpers to those who also have parents in prison. So let's listen to one such story from Angel Tree.
Jeffrey Hopper pled guilty to stealing $1.1 million from the Stardust Casino in Las Vegas, because that's who he was, and that's what he did.
I've lived most of my life as a criminal who sold narcotics, who dealt in cocaine and acid, who robbed people, who robbed casinos.
Serving time in a Texas prison cell, his prime motivation was revenge.
I had a list, every single name of someone who had ever wronged me, what they did and what I was going to do to them when I got out. It was over 100 people.
His only weak spot was his 5-year-old daughter. When word came out that the chaplain could arrange for a Christmas gift to be sent to Amanda, he signed up, not expecting too much.
I didn't think anything of it until later I received a letter from my precious baby girl. A little pencil-scribed piece of notebook paper about the gift she had received and that she loved me.
For the first time, Jeffrey Hopper experiences love without condition.
I was floored. I didn't understand why these people were doing such things for other people. And why? Why do things for people who can't do anything in return?
Jeffrey's questions would be answered by his very own daughter on Christmas Day during a specially arranged visit. First, of course, Amanda thanked him for the present he had sent and promised to save it for just the right moment.
She told me all about the Candyland game, a game that she was going to wait until I got out before she would open.
Then, 5-year-old Amanda shared a new idea with her father, one he had never before understood. The volunteers with Angel Tree had told her about the wonder of God's love grace, and forgiveness.
She went on and on in that visit about how Angel Tree had made it possible for her to know and understand that she could love me and forgive me just as Christ loved all of us.
But what about all those names on Jeffrey's revenge list? Could love overcome such anger?
And finally, the realization for me was that God didn't keep such a list. And after that visit, went back to the chapel and fell apart. And it was on that day that I gave my life to Christ.
On his last day as an inmate, Jeffrey held tightly to his Bible. Amanda had something in her hands as well.
I walked out those prison doors, and standing at the car was a little girl, holding a Candyland game, unopened. She had waited those 2 years to open that gift to play the first time with me.
A child's board game, a thank you note, pencil on paper, a visit from a little girl who shares a simple truth, a hardened inmate is broken. And that can be a very good thing. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 that grace is all you need. Jesus' power works best in weakness. If God has revealed his forgiveness, love, and provision to you, this is your chance to give back.
Give a gift, change a life. If you want to know more about Angel Tree, want to be part of a cause that's moving the gospel forward and tending to children who need a message of love this Christmas, you can get information on our website at myfaithradio.com. One more quick announcement before we get the smallies on, and that's this. Every year on Live the Promise, we do something called the Great Giveaway, and this can easily tie with Angel Tree, but I'm just sending you on a mini mission trip this holiday season. Get outside your comfort zone and engage in a random act of kindness. The question is, what's the best thing you can do with $15? Now, you may have more, you may have less, but do what you can with what you have. On December 17th, we'll devote the whole show. It's like you're coming back from the mission field. You're going to share your story. Everybody who gets on the air will get some fun Christmas candy and a book off of our Faith Radio shelf. Two of the most inspiring stories will get a great gift basket full of goodies. Our way of saying thank you for being the hands and feet of Christ. Imagine this. Imagine thousands of people being mobilized, engaging in random acts of kindness because Jesus loved us first. That's what we want. So I want to hear from you. Please do engage and then give us a call on December 17th. Okay, as I mentioned, we're talking about Ready to Wed. In fact, we're inviting you to call in with your proposal stories. If you get on the air, you'll get a copy of a book. We've got a few copies of Ready to Wed, and somebody's going to get a copy of Ready to Wed and the DVD curriculum. That's a $100 value. So on your mark, get set. Let's hear your proposal stories. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. And let me tell you about my friends, although they really need no introduction. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. Aaron Smalley is a Program Director at Focus on the Family, also an author speaker based in Colorado Springs, and they work together doing marriage intensives and seminars. They live in the Springs with their daughters and their son, Garrison. You can find their influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Greg and Aaron, welcome back to the program.
Thanks for having us, as always.
It's always a blast to be with our good friend, Susie.
I always say the wheels come off when you come on, but it's my favorite thing.
Not a bad thing.
So before we get into Ready to Wed, how did you propose to Aaron? I got to know.
I thought this through. We lived in Phoenix, Arizona, and so I hiked up into the mountains there in Phoenix, some tables, or a table and two chairs with a good buddy of mine. And then later on that day, I asked Aaron to go on a hike with me.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, but the problem was that I had to get her to call in sick to work.
Ooh.
And she's such a person of high integrity that I almost couldn't convince her.
So your whole marriage is based on a lie?
Well, okay. So, let's explain this a little bit. He called working as a nurse. He called my unit and talked to the charge nurse and asked her to see if anyone could cover for me that night. So I didn't know this. So then he convinces me to call in sick. So I call in sick, and they're like, uh-huh.
Yeah,
right. And I had no idea what was going on because they all knew I was getting engaged.
Oh, that's
awesome. I was the only one clueless.
I married a liar. I didn't even know that.
You
that's
made
his
her
influence
that way.
In my life.
It only,
he did.
Literally took months to really mess her up in that way. So take her hiking. So we go climbing, hiking up into the mountains, and all of a sudden we come upon this gorgeous table with a candle, tablecloth, food right there. Mm. And so I said, "Whoa, look at this." And she's saying, "Oh, how romantic. Look what someone did for someone." And I said, "Let's sit down." "No, we can't sit down.
I already called him sick. What more do you want from me?"
I know. I literally was like, "That would be terrible to ruin this for someone else."
You're so sweet.
Someone worked hard.
There's no one around.
Yeah.
I said, "There's no one around. Let's just sit there for a little bit." And I could not convince her. Finally went, "Hello, it's for you."
Oh.
And I'm not sure that she thought I was capable, which is why this was so hard to convince her.
I was clueless. And let's just add in there, I had already been to, 1990s, step aerobics. I had played golf that day, and now I was going on a hike. So, of course, I never would have thought of taking a shower to go on a hike. So
right.
Here I am, disgusting, no makeup. He takes me up hiking. We sit down. He proposes. I'm shocked, stunned. Little did I know that he had a engagement party planned right after this.
Oh, my goodness.
So there I am walking into...
That could have gone bad.
Walking into this engagement party. Nasty.
Oh,
meeting all these people I've never met before. And my mom looks at me and she goes, "Your makeup looks really bad." And I said, "Mom, it's because I have none on."
Exactly.
And she's a liar.
And I smell.
And I've got fired just now. Oh, my word.
I don't have a job.
Yeah.
It was great, though. I'd made a plaque with a hand, painted little picture and stuff. It was really cool.
Yeah, he gave me
so
a plaque
thoughtful.
Instead of a ring.
Yeah,
I was a little disappointed.
I was trying out a new trend. And
yeah.
It never really caught on.
Yeah.
Truly. Oh, I gave her a ring, and it was great. And what's really cool is that I had a video camera hidden. And so the whole thing we captured on video.
I don't believe you. Seriously?
Yes.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I could send that to you.
You got to.
Yes.
I will.
The hilarious thing is there was a candle on the table, and he kept trying to light it. And I think you tried six times, and it wouldn't light because it was the wind was blowing.
Aaron's going, "It's okay. No, this has to be perfect.
Be lit."
This is a bad omen for our marriage if I can't get this candle lit.
Never mind that I had you to lie, but the candle.
I know.
No, I'm kidding
you.
Yeah,
so I'm the one who had to go to work the next day.
Oh, I love it. So you really did not see it coming, huh?
I didn't because his sister had convinced me. He was leaving to go to seminary in Denver. I was staying in Phoenix to work. And we kind of said, well, let's see how it goes, the first couple months and, on and on. So I figured we'd get engaged maybe at Christmas. Well, this was August.
Hmm.
And so he surprised me.
No time like hiking in August in Phoenix.
Yes.
Indeed.
Yeah.
When it's perfect.
900 degrees.
I love the story. We need to take a break. When we come back, I want you to set up just the 5 questions. We'll just kind of list them and then we'll kind of dig through them. And we would love to hear your proposal story. Come on. You got a story like that. Did you ask your fiancé to lie? I bet not. 877-933-2484, 877-93-FAITH, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com. More with the Smalleys when we come back. Couldn't help myself. The song just had to play out. Doesn't that just make you want to bop a little, dance a little? So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. I pray this holiday season you get some time by the tree where you can just maybe sip on some cider and thank God for all that's right in your world. You can pray for those who are suffering in this season and who are not maybe enjoying the blessings you are enjoying. And I pray that you can get up and dance a little bit. I just think it makes the day better. Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley today, and they've got a fantastic book out titled Ready to Wed, 12 Ways to Start a Marriage You'll Love. And we're going to cover a handful of questions that they suggest that you ask before you get married. And I want to hear from you. You're a little bit quiet today. How did your spouse propose? If you're a wife,
How did your husband propose? And husbands, how did you propose? I want to know. 877-933-2484. So you guys, I forgot to ask the verse because I was so captivated by your proposal story. But you have a verse that you would like to share, and let's hear it, Greg.
Yeah, I actually researched, what is there a number one verse that is read at weddings? And, of course, there's great stuff all over the place. But there is actually the most popular verse is 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. And I want to read it out of the Message version. I love this. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than self. Mm. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. Love doesn't have a swelled head. Love doesn't force itself upon others. Isn't always me first. Love doesn't fly off the handle. Doesn't keep score of sins of others. Doesn't level when others grovel. Takes pleasure in the flowering of truth. Mm. Puts up with everything. Trust God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end.
Fantastic. Powerful.
Isn't that cool?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I love that passage. I love the way the Message lays that out.
Mm-hmm. I mean, what more can be said, really? I mean, it just is so, you know, if we lived and abided by this, if we just looked at this every day.
It's there's your list.
Yeah,
exactly. That's what I was thinking, Susie, looking at it, that it is. So, I mean, it's the most popular verse, and it's used over and over again, that we should have this, like, written, on an index card on the refrigerator and look at it every single day. Maybe a checklist would be good.
I'll write it up for you. Just to be helpful.
And he'll help keep you on track, Aaron.
Yes, I'm sure he would.
But take a look at the verse, honey.
Yes. But at the very end it says, but keeps going to the end. Mm. And I love that. Never looks back, but keeps going to the end.
I love that, too. You know, you think about the selfie culture that we live in. It's no wonder that so many put so much money and time and planning into the wedding, but not to the marriage. And if there's something that you two are known for, it's that, you know, to plan for the marriage. Plan for the marriage. And if you think about kind of our self-entitled generation, it's totally opposite of what it takes for a marriage to work. But if marriage works, it's just the best thing ever. And so one of the questions you challenge us to ask, and this is for those who are ready to wed, but I think this is good for us as who are married as well. Am I willing to sacrifice for my spouse every day? Greg, we'll start with you, but speak to that. It's a costly question, you know?
It really is. You know, this December is the number one month for proposals for marriage. And so that's why we thought, hey, what a better time than as people are doing that. You might know someone who's getting engaged. You might have a good friend. You might have a child, a sibling. And I tell you, instead of giving them a toaster, you know, give them something that will help, you know, them stay married for a lifetime. And that's why the Ready to Wed kit, the book, call in, tell us your proposal story. We'd love to put that into your hands and give that out as a gift. Susie, for me, I just think one of the greatest things that I've learned, that I would give anything to be able to go back. So almost 24 years, I would love to go back with a very different mindset around what my job is or was in married when we first got married. And that's really all about sacrifice. Mm. You know, I knew that it wasn't that word was foreign to me. I don't know if I knew how to truly put that into action. What does that really look like? We hear that all the time. I need to sacrifice for each other. But what does that really mean? And I've been really, really studying this. And let me, a couple of verses that I think are so powerful. Like, 1 John 3:16 says, this then is how we know what love is. So it's saying, okay, when we're told to love, so as I stood up there and I said that I was going to love Aaron for a lifetime, it's saying the evidence then of that love is that Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and then thus we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. That's all about sacrifice. Sacrifice, see, what Christ did is Christ had possession. He had ownership of his body. And so sacrifice is when we take something that we own. So he had his life. I might have time. I might have money. I might have whatever resources. But I take something that I value, that I own, that's important to me, and I give that up to someone else, to Aaron, who I believe to be more valuable. Hmm. And so it's taking something that we value, and then we give that to someone who's more valuable. And that's the essence of sacrifice. Mm. And there are so many. Listen to this one out of Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up. So the Bible always pairs love and sacrifice together. And just as Christ laid down his life for us, is a fragrant offering and sacrifice. So it's I just wish that I really would have understood that in this kid. Oh, go ahead.
Well, no, I was going to say, you know, even that passage, as dearly loved, you know, to know that you're loved first. And you think about, you wish you could go back. Kev said that before too. Do you feel like you would do things different now because you know you're dearly loved, so you're coming from a different place? In other words, why the striving for oftentimes for young couples? And I think wives feel that at the hands of young men who are trying, you know, I've got you married. I'm married now. I've got you. I have to go and make something of myself. Is it from a place of not knowing who they are, and so things sort of get out of whack that way? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think for me, looking back, I developmentally appropriate in my, you know, early 20s, you know, I'm trying to prove who I am. I'm trying to come out from the shadow of my dad. You know, I'm trying to make something. I'm trying to learn to be a provider. I want to be successful. So I think I was fighting this developmental urge to really go make a name for myself, find a career, make money. I mean, to do all those things. And I think in a healthy way, God has placed that desire within my DNA to provide for my wife, to provide for my family. I was probably so focused on that. I was so distracted by my own issues. You know, because
that's
I had a lot of issues.
No, but
I mean, let's be honest. Aaron, just be honest for a second.
Okay, I will be.
You just read 1 Corinthians and you sit there.
Wait, maybe I need to think about it. Oh, no, I really don't. Go ahead.
So, you know, it was like the perfect storm. I had all these issues, you know, as a young 20-year-old. And then I'm striving to figure out who am I and how will I provide. That just sacrifice just wasn't my focus. Mm-hmm. It wasn't that I'm sure that there were moments and things, but mm-hmm. I would give anything for older Greg, 47?
You're 47.
47 yes. Year old Greg to be able to go back. And Susie, your point, just I'd love that chance just to sit down with myself at 23 is when I got married and just say, hey bro, relax. You know, God loves you. Aaron is not your source of fulfillment. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't need to figure out how to get Aaron to love you. God has already met that. So, man, relax. Mm-hmm. Just live out your destiny, which is to love. And the evidence of you loving is going to be sacrifice. So focus on sacrificing for your wife and really living that out.
And the fruit mm-hmm. that comes out of that place is so abundant. It will nourish you. It'll nourish her. We need to take a short break. But remember I told you your next book is Dear Younger Me? Where you put your armor.
Yes.
See, it's like Finding Nemo. He's like, what's her name on Nemo? Every idea that I've shared 10 times, it's a new idea. Isn't it a good idea again?
I love it.
Write it down. Okay, when we come back, Aaron, I want you to speak to that from a woman's perspective. What do you wish you would have known back then about, you know, sacrifice and what you know about God and about even how loved you are now and how different that makes your sacrifice? It makes us less afraid, I think. Talking to Aaron and Greg Smalley. We'll be back in a minute. Danny Gokey, I had him on the show a couple weeks ago. He talked about his Christmas album, fantastic album. Great conversation. That's up on our website if you want to check it out, myfaithradio.com. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. Don't you want to dance when you hear that song? Talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley about their book, Ready to Wed. And I love this about you guys. I just feel like we could talk for 4 hours and still not scratch the surface of all the content that you guys have. So one of the first questions that we're challenging engaged couples, dating couples, to ask themselves is, am I willing to sacrifice for my spouse every day? And Greg, you were just talking so much before the break about, you know, knowing what you know now, you'd go back to your younger self and really affirm, you got to know who you are, because that's the only way you can sacrifice from that place. Aaron, when you think about it, I feel like in some ways it's instinctive for us as women to sacrifice. I just think it sort of is, but I think there's a...
Oh, sorry. Your mic is on.
Anyway, wow. But I also think there's a self-preservation for us if we feel not safe, we're going to pull back, and that will keep us from sacrificing as well. So how has your perspective evolved over the years?
You know, it is so interesting because as women, we are so relational, and we get so much of our identity from the relationships we're in, specifically, you know, a marriage relationship with our spouse. And so for me, looking back, so much of it was, I mean, based out of insecurity of, you know, I've got to be connected to him and, you know, he's going to meet these needs. And I had these expectations that were just grandiose, really. And, you know, looking back, it's amazing, just as I've matured in my faith, that really learning that God has already given me all the love I need, and that I don't need to plug into Greg as my source of love, or the source of, you know, of life, that really staying plugged into God empowers me to sacrifice, empowers me to give out love. But then also, you know, that's the primary relationship that I need to get my identity from, not Greg.
Yeah. You know, as you're talking, I'm thinking about the passage. It talks about a woman who fears the Lord is greatly to be praised. Mm. And you think about oftentimes maybe guys may choose a spouse. You know, there's a chemistry. You know, we get along. I'm attracted to her. But when you think about a woman who fears the Lord, there's going to be times where the husband lets us down. But if we fear God and we're pursuing God as the source first, we can love the spouse even if we're not getting what we want. And that's, to me, a whole new level of maturity and love, isn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, I was just thinking about, there was an issue that we dealt with our first year of marriage. And
just one?
Just, well, wow. One. One of many.
Oh. We can only talk about one at a time, one. Greg.
It's an hour show.
Yes.
I forgot.
But literally the same issue emerged last year. So 23 years later, it was the same issue. And I will never forget just thinking how differently I handled it. And really was, I mean, it was something Greg was dealing with, and really being able to just go, you know what, Greg, I love you, but I cannot believe that this is coming up again 23 years later. And I'm releasing you to really, you know, deal with that. But at first year of marriage, I was like, oh my word, what have I done wrong? And, you know, this is about me. And, you know, why isn't he loving me the way I need to be loved? And, you know, on and on. And so, really, when you're plugged into the Lord and you know that you are so loved, that you really, you know, as your spouse disappoints you, because he will, not, of course, Greg, but
Greg's looking so surprised.
I think I emphasized he will too much. But
I'm a dream come true.
But I mean, we're marrying broken people. We're both broken people, and that I don't have to have these expectations that aren't realistic, that he's going to complete me, that he's going to meet every need I have and know them intuitively, because that's not reality. You know, in 1 John 4:11, it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And you look at that verse, beloved means much loved. Mm. And then he goes on to say, like, almost like, you know, taking our face and holding it and saying, if God so loved us. So twice he's saying, we're much loved, beloved, and if God so loved us, he's saying it again, we ought to love one another. So really, when we are plugged into the true source, and I wish back then, you know, I was just learning about God, and I had accepted Christ, but was just growing and maturing when we first got married, that, you know, if I had only known what I know and know now, and even had matured in my faith back then, it would have helped so much. And, you know, just to, it would have calmed me down a whole lot just to go, you know what, you are beloved, and God so loves you, Aaron Smalley, that you ought to be able to love one another in his strength, in his power.
And that's why, again, that concept of love, it's so, you know, what? I mean, it sounds great. What does it mean? That's what we're saying. Sacrifice, then, would have given me a real clear bullseye to shoot at. And boy, we've been working hard, and I'll say, I know we have, but really, I've been talking to my son over and over and over about sacrificing, have done this with our daughter.
Yeah, Annie has been hilarious with this. Greg taught her the verse, you know, talking about laying her life down for a friend. She has had no greater love than laying your life down for a friend. She walked out of school yesterday, and she had a letter written. She writes letters constantly. I'm thinking that's not what she's supposed to be doing at school, but she does. And so she always has a letter for me, and there's always a question that I have to answer, yes or no. But she told me in there that she laid her life down for two people. And I said, really? I said, well, tell me about it. And she said, well, I asked who would like my pencil that's scent, that has a scent to it. Mm. And two people said yes. And so she gave them her pencil. Mm. And I know she loves these pencils because they do smell good. But she gave them to two people, to Joey and to Izzy.
She's writing letters and sniffing pencils.
Sounds like your daughter, Greg.
Could explain the bad grades.
Yes.
Come to think of it.
Yeah. But to her, that was a big deal to give up something that she loves. Yeah. But she valued her friends enough to give them both a scentsy pencil.
I love it. Well, you're making a good point that if we can teach this to our kids at a very young age, it won't be a foreign language when they get to be the marrying age. Because right now you see just a slew of people getting married to be loved. And you're saying, get married and then love. And the second question is, do we have a bigger vision for our marriage, bigger than ourselves? And again, I just think that's foreign language to so many. I'm getting married because I don't want to be alone and I want to be loved. And you're saying, no, it's a much loftier goal than that. But I think this lofty goal of sacrificing and loving is what matures us and is what helps us be identified with Christ and who he is. So what say you, Greg?
Yeah, you know, when God talks about the man shall leave his mother and father and then the cleave to his wife and the two shall become what? One. Mm-hmm. The more and more I really think about and understand and study that concept, there really is something powerful about oneness. And I never got this. I never really paid attention to that. Ah, it's a nice verse. I get, you know, whatever. But I tell you, if marriage has a secret power, a superpower, and it really is that oneness, that unity when God brings this man and this woman together and they are united into one, it creates something beyond anything that she and I could have done on our own. We, Aaron and I, as individuals, were fully complete because God made us that way. He came to give us life and have it abundantly. We don't need one another. We need God. And that's what we meant, that he sustains us, he fills us up. But when he brings us together, he creates this amazing synergy that we can accomplish things far greater than we could have done on our own. And so what we want to challenge couples is, have you actually spent time talking about this really cool superpower that God has given you guys within this marriage? How are you going to use that? Mm. Your marriage has to be about something bigger than just pursuing some of these things that we end up going after, certain jobs or money or vacations.
Acquiring all the possessions.
I mean, I get all that. We need some of those things. But if our mindset, though, has to be that, well, God has entrusted this superpower to us. I love super, you know, power movies and
Marvel
so
comics
super,
kind of.
There you go. So although I can't explain it, I mean, I act like I don't know what I'm talking about, but you think of like a Superman. I mean, here he comes from this place in outer space, comes to Earth, and he's given this enormous superpower, and he's responsible for that. And I would say in the same way, that's marriage. And we're responsible for it. And if we spend all of our time pursuing all this other stuff, we've wasted this incredible power that God has given to us. And Aaron, would you? I just don't feel like we realize that. We're so distracted by so many other things.
Mm-hmm. And even when we thought about, you know, dreams for the future and whatever that might have been back then, I don't know that we looked at it from a perspective that really this is an overflow. This is the outcome of two being brought together as one, grounded in the Lord, that there's the synergy, there's the outpouring of the love that we have being given out to others. Because it's so abundant. We're both loved individually, but then when you bring two very loved people together, you know, wow. Hmm. But we had no clue, honestly.
Yeah, and
no
over
idea.
The course of our, you know, years together, you know, we've sometimes stumbled into some really cool dreams that we've had together to release kind of the superpower. You know, adopting Annie was one of them. But boy, speaking together, mm-hmm. serving together, going on missions trips together. I mean, you name it. We've started to do those things. Mm-hmm. And it's incredible what God does through our marriage.
You know, you got me thinking as you're talking about this together and the superpower. I love the analogy because I think it's absolutely true. And the cord of three strands is not easily mm-hmm. broken.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
In our earlier years of marriage, and you know our story, but just we were running parallel paths. Both Christians, both loved by God, loved each other. But, you know, Bible talks about love keeps no account. And I think when you get into a place where you're each doing your own thing, you start to keep account. Well, you did that, I get to do this, or you've been gone, so now it's my turn to be gone.
Yep.
And right away you're dividing, right? And we both burnt out in marriage and in ministry back all those years ago. When we came together and started to prioritize in very big ways about sacrificial love, time together, prayer, seeking God together as a couple, we are literally managing five times now what we were back then, with margin, with intimacy with God, you know, with life. We have an ebb to our flow because there's unity. And Bible talks about when there's unity, God commands a blessing. We've come into that superpower you're talking about.
Yeah.
And in that place of intimacy with God is where dreams are born, where he's like, now let me show you your vision because you can sustain it. But you can't when you're keeping account and, well, if you got this, I got this, and you're measuring everything out, you know?
That's exactly right. And you know, it's almost like we have to find a cause that we are both equally passionate about, and maybe you can even remove the word equally. I just think together, when we find this cause that we're passionate about, something that really truly benefits others, not just us, and when we keep pouring out, people should be blessed by your marriage. And that's really that idea. That's the superpower right there.
And I think, too, being able to give it over to the Lord and asking him what he has for you, because not in a million years would I have ever guessed that Greg and I would speak together at marriage seminars. Never in a million years. Yet I cannot think of one more satisfying just gift that we have been given than ministering to marriages. But it was a matter of me saying, you know what, Lord, I want to do this because you are calling me to it, not because it's what I had in mind.
Oh, such a great story. Love to hear from you. I'm telling you, this is not to shame you, just to invite you. You're so quiet today. Are you driving? Both hands on the wheel? Maybe you've got one of those hands-free things. Give me a call, 877-93-FAITH, 877-933-2484, talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley about how do you know if you're ready to wed. But can you tell these questions are for you if you're married, too? Do you have a bigger vision than yourselves in your marriage? Are you willing to love in a sacrificial way? Coming up next, are we willing to use conflict to grow together? Because conflict will happen. Are you willing to use it as a doorway to intimacy, as the Smalleys often say? We'll talk about that when we come back. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to our dear friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, about marriage. How do you know if you're ready to wed? Well, we've got a question here. Oh, Greg just flashed a picture of little Annie. Cute little crooked smile.
Sorry. Oh,
well, you did. Thank you for that. Anyway, we're walking through questions that are good to ask before you get married, but they're also good to ask when you're married. The first one was, am I willing to sacrifice for my spouse every day? They both answered that so beautifully. If you just tuned in, you'll go back and catch the podcast. You'll get that. Second question we talked about is, do we have a vision that's bigger than us for our marriage? Well, this last segment, let's talk about this one. Are we willing to use conflict to grow closer together? And Aaron, let's start with you. You both often say that conflict is a doorway to intimacy. What do you say?
Yeah, this one makes me laugh out loud because looking back 24 years ago, wow, I wish we would have had just an idea of the benefits of conflict. And, you know, the myth out there, and I hear it from couples over and over again, is, oh, we don't fight. We never have, you know, disagreements. And, you know, and they believe that this is a sign that their relationship is super healthy. And, you know, conflict's going to look different in everybody's relationship, but it's really, you're going to have differences of opinions. it's just inevitable. But having the mindset that this is beneficial to us as individuals, to our relationship, and I'm going to learn a lot about me, about my spouse, and about, you know, our marriage relationship, you know, wow, that changes the whole backdrop of it, and it gives it a purpose, and that you can use this to strengthen your relationship and to help us grow closer.
So, Aaron, would you say in some ways, if you approach conflict knowing that you can actually benefit from it, grow stronger, it takes some of the fear out of it? Because I think sometimes fear is so attached to it that that's where things get amped up.
Mm-hmm. Well, because we've all had these experiences with conflict, you know, from your family of origin, from roommates in college, from friends, especially female friendships, that we, you know, have these ideas attached to how painful conflict is. And, you know, healthy conflict doesn't have to be painful. It might hurt when you are hearing what your spouse perceives or his experience. But, you know, you look at James 1:2, it says, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity. And, you know, wow, that just having that verse alone, you know, in the forefront of your mind when you're having a disagreement, that could change everything.
Mm, that's so good.
You know, and that's why we try to say that conflict is actually, as Aaron's point, an opportunity for a relationship. Combat is bad for a relationship.
Okay, and make so the distinction for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, so it's important that we understand the difference. So combat would be things like when we're withdrawing, and so we're not dealing with conflict, we're escalating, so the energy's going up, we're belittling one another, we're developing negative beliefs, we're raging, whatever. I mean, there's unhealthy things that we can do through conflict. I'm talking over her, I'm not willing to listen. You know, those things are never good for a relationship. And I think we always associate conflict with those combat kinds of things. And what we're saying is that to actually treat those as differently. Conflict when we disagree, when we do things to hurt one another, when we're frustrated with another, that really is an opportunity. I look back and some of the greatest lessons that I ever learned about our marriage, about Aaron, about myself, all happened in the midst of conflict. Mm. And I again, that would be one of those things to go back to my younger self and just say, man, look at this differently. Look what can happen. If you walk through this, if you can learn how to get your heart back open in the midst of conflict, you can actually benefit from this thing that you're so afraid of, that you think is going to rock the boat, that you think is going to ruin the relationship, that you think is going to scar your marriage in some way. It's just, I was so afraid of conflict, and I avoided it like the plague, and I didn't want to talk about anything. And now it's not that I like to talk through conflict, but I can relax because one, I know how to get my heart back open, and we've been through it enough that I have confidence that we'll make it through this as well. But more importantly, I know I'm going to learn something good about me. You know, I might be faced with just another way that I'm being an idiot.
You know, we all have blind spots. Yeah, and he uses that. Mm-hmm. And you can sure see on the flip side how conflict avoidance can feel like abandonment to the other person. It's like, well, you don't matter quite enough for me to enter into the cage with you, so to speak, right?
Right.
I mean, but what about, you know, what are some maybe guidelines and rules so that conflict can be safe and be a doorway to intimacy? Because sometimes, as you said, it turns into combat and does more harm than good.
You know, there's so many different rules and ideas about conflict. And so, you know, really the thing that we think is so important when it comes to having these conversations that are difficult is creating an environment that's safe, that's emotionally safe, that your spouse is going to feel valued, that they're going to feel like their opinion matters, that, you know, that you're not name calling, you're not using unkind words, but, you know, that you're talking about your experience, your heart, and you're sharing that with your spouse in a way that feels good to both of you, that it's not demeaning, devaluing, accusatory. And, you know, it's going back to that scripture we shared when we first came on, the number one, you know, marriage verse, 1 Corinthians 13:4-7. And, you know, going back to, you know, that it's not self-seeking, you know, it doesn't force itself on others. It doesn't give up, that we just truly create an environment that, hey, you matter, I matter. And we want to work through this because we love each other. And, you know, it might be painful, But you know what? We're going to get to the other side. As the verse says at the very end, it keeps going to the end, never looks back, always looks for the best.
You know, what reminds me of what you're saying is the question, do we have a vision that's bigger than ourselves for mm-hmm. our marriage? I think you can enter that kind of conflict if you've already cast a vision for your marriage to say, we're in this for the long haul. Mm-hmm. We're going to be stronger. We have superpower when we're together, and conflict's going to be part of it. So you've got a vision at the end. But you've talked about this many times before. The topic of divorce is off the table. We're not going to joke about it. Mm-hmm. Non-negotiable. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. that helps you have a safety, don't you think, when you're entering into
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, I think what I've learned, and I'm going to stay within the superhero theme.
I like it.
Is that when I get into conflict with Aaron, so maybe I'm hurt, we're frustrated, we're arguing, whatever, that I turn into the Incredible Hulk. Mm. And that's been one of the best analogies for me to remember. The moment that I'm mad and frustrated, if I can picture myself as becoming the Hulk, I know that I'm not safe to continue in this conversation at this moment, that I actually have to take some time. You know, if you know anything about the Incredible Hulk, you know, when he's all stirred up, man, he's damaging everything. He's on a destructive path. But all of a sudden you get him away, you kind of get him seated somewhere and just allow him to settle down. What does he do? He returns back to that flesh-colored human being, Bruce Banner. Mm. And so that what I've learned is that in those moments that we're in conflict, boy, I flare up, I'm the Hulk. I instead of trying to talk through the issue right there as the Hulk, which never works, that if I can just take a break and just allow things to settle down, turn to the Lord, enter into some prayer time with Him. See, that's what takes me back from the Hulk, back to Greg, the husband, who actually my heart wants to listen to my wife, but I need to get my heart back open. I need to get, the Hulk's got to disappear. And that's why I love that verse in Proverbs that says, a wise man's heart guides his mouth. So when my heart is open, when I'm no longer the Hulk, see, that's when I'm able to actually have a great, productive conversation mm-hmm. with Aaron. Oh, I wish I would have known that. Oh, mm-hmm. I would, you know, as the Hulk, try to force her into conversations and to deal with stuff, and we can't let the sun go down in our anger, and that's terrible advice. Mm-hmm. Man, take a break, get your heart open, get rid of the mm-hmm. Hulk, then mm-hmm. you will, I promise you'll have a good conversation then.
So Dear Younger Me will be released in all bookstores by Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley a year from now. I'm telling you guys, this is your next book. I'm telling you, it's going to be excellent. So Aaron,
would you write it for
us? Sure. I'll just slap your name on it. That sounds good. I'll talk about Little Debbie. And anyway, Aaron,
it's going to have Twinkies on the
cover. Now the Hulk.
Cover.
The Hulk eating.
A Twinkie.
Lots of kids will buy it.
The wrapper in the chair.
Oh, my goodness. Somehow we're going to switch gears now. And, Aaron, would you pray for that person who's maybe dating, thinking of getting engaged, starting out marriage? Would you pray for them?
Lord Jesus, we just come before you and lift up anyone who's listening, Lord, that's considering pursuing a marriage covenant, Lord, with you and with a potential spouse, Jesus. I just pray that you give them wisdom and discernment. And just you're leading, you're guiding, Lord, and also just eyes to see any issues that they need to conquer with you, Lord, prior to getting engaged, Jesus. So we just trust you and know that you will lead and guide and bring mentors and people of wisdom into these couples' lives, Jesus. We just thank you in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just love you guys so much. Thank you so much for the time today.
Thank you for having us. That's brave.
Check out. Yeah, it really is.
You are a super hero.
I'm amazing. Title of the book is Ready to Wed, 12 Ways to Start a Marriage You'll Love. Mm-hmm. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson. In just a bit, you'll find a podcast of today's program on our website at myfaithradio.com. Hey, don't forget to prayerfully consider being involved with both Angel Tree and the Great Giveaway. Maybe your Great Giveaway is involved with Angel Tree. We'd love to have you engaged this holiday season. Have a blessed day. And remember this. The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong. He's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great day.